got to get out more. So this become new. We're looking at how to be vibrant, fully alive people living in love, joy, peace, fruit of the spirit, and doing that in a world filled with technology and screens and stuff that can easily captivate or obsess or ensnare or distract us. And I'm talking today with Glenn Packiam. You might know him. He's been on the show. I never know what to call
this. Yeah, so great.
People say, well, going to be on the show.
Friends of the show now.
So, yeah, friends of the show. Fascinating human being. Lead pastor at Rock Harbor Church in Costa Mesa. Worship guy, brilliant musician, songwriter. Got a doctorate in theology from Durham.
Yes, sir.
In the UK. A wonderful writer. So we could talk about anything, but in particular today, one of the areas that you have done research and work is resilience.
Yeah.
And one of the things that technology can do is just through sheer distraction. And like, I got so many emails, I got so many texts, I got so much stuff that I'm behind with, just wear the spirit down. Mm. So, Glenn, thank you for being willing to do this. Taking a break from trying to help Steve Cuss get his education.
Figure it out. Yes, exactly.
Taking him forever. So talk to us a little bit about what is resilience? What made you interested in it? And what are you learning?
John, it's an honor to be with you, honor to be in your home and talking about this. The need for resilience is just because of the challenges of ministry. When Barna asked pastors if they'd given serious consideration to quitting, you know, the number was in the low 30%, but then over the course of the year or two after the pandemic, it spiked up to 42, 43%. It's come back down a little bit, but it's not a resignation crisis. To me, that little self-reporting of, yeah, I've given serious consideration to quitting, It's an indication of discouragement. Yeah. So it's not about a resignation crisis. It's sort of like pastors are the walking dead. We just keep going. And so resilience, I think of resilience in three ways. There's kind of three frames or three paradigms. And the first one is resilience is really about recovery. There's a story that he's passed away now, but the former chief rabbi of the British Commonwealth, Jonathan Sacks, he talks about going in for his first stress test. And the doctor puts all these sensors on him or whatever, and he says, go run on the treadmill. And he goes, man, what are you measuring? Are you measuring how fast I can run? No, keep running. Are you measuring how far I can run? No, keep running. And at the end of it, he goes, what are you testing? And he goes, I'm measuring how quickly you return to your resting heart rate. And he said, he's like, I realized something that should have been obvious, that health is not just the absence of being sick or absence of illness. Health is rate of recovery. And I think for a lot of pastors and church leaders, you kind of think that the measure of health is you never get stressed or you never get anxious or you never get angry. Well, that's not realistic. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Trouble will find you. What God is interested in, what we're interested in is what's your rate of recovery? Like how quickly do you come back to a spiritual resting heart rate? And this was
so if you're watching this, whether you're a pastor, work for somebody that pays you money, are at home full time with children, whatever it is, that question of accepting I'm going to get tanked, tired, stressed, but how quickly can I get back to a state of restfulness?
Yeah. And there's one question that I have people ask themselves, and I've done this in a secular environment, a non-church environment with entrepreneurs, and it's am I weary or am I wounded or is it both? And it, you know, John, when you're trying to recover, it's important that you know what you're recovering from. So many of us, we intuitively say, I'm just tired. And are you sure that's it? What if you've actually picked up some wounds? So I was doing this in a Zoom one time with entrepreneurs. And this guy, his face just sank when I said this. I go, what's going on? He said, I've just come back from a four-month exotic Asian vacation. I've been riding elephants in Thailand and doing all, you know. And he goes, I feel just as bad as I do now as I did before. Uh-oh. What happened? Yeah. And he goes, I'm realizing I'm not weary. I'm wounded. Yeah. I've taken some blows. And I think that's the part of the recovery thing is to start to assess. Because if you're weary, yeah, build in some rhythms of rest, that kind of, if you're wounded, you might need more help than that. You might need some therapy and things like that. So that's one frame of resilience is recovery.
Right. Yeah.
The second frame is kind of recalibration. And this is, you know, John, you were alluding to this earlier today, the literature about anti-fragile, anti-fragility sort of stuff. Resilience isn't just saying, okay, thank God we made it, we survived that. It's, what do we learn anything from this? How can we recalibrate? And this is where I think your technology, get outside kind of thing, mm-hmm. Relates, because so much of what we need to recalibrate are rhythms of prayer, rhythms of rest, rhythms of renewal. Where's the life-giving, hobby, recreational piece?
Yeah.
Rhythms of relationship, and then rhythms of work. Even the way that you put your time and energy towards something, paid or unpaid, do you need to recalibrate that? So my wife and I, we've done for almost 15 years now this retreat, and we do it twice a year. We go away for a couple of nights. And there's several pieces to this retreat. It's called The Intentional Year. We wrote a little book and journal about it. But the heart of the retreat is taking an inventory of our habits in these five spheres. And we go, what are we doing by default or by intention in terms of prayer, rest, renewal, relationships, work? And sometimes technology can help you with that, right? Like there's a prayer app you can use, and you know. But for me, more often than not, technology has become the distraction, the thing that is getting in the way of the rhythms I actually want to spend my time intentionally on. So resilience can't just be about recovery. It has to be about recalibrating.
So it sounds like recovery would be a lot about energy.
Yeah.
Fair amount kind of physical, but also emotional, spiritual, if there's woundedness. And then recalibration, is that more a matter of perspective or learning? Mm. How would you describe or try to define what it means to recalibrate?
I'm sure it has something on that deeper level about learning and perspective. I tend to think of it a bit more action-oriented in the sense that you're recalibrating how you spend time and energy. You know, like literally your habits, your rhythms. So
you're making changes.
You're making changes. Exactly. It's a little bit of the, you know, that whatever that taxonomy is, you have to reprioritize in order to change. You actually have to, you've come into, you know, a new insight.
Yeah.
But now what are you willing to let go of? What changes are you actually going to make?
Gotcha.
In order for this to stick. And so, you know, as leaders, one of the worst mistakes we do is we go, oh, you know what, I'm going to have, these are my five new prayer rhythms and my six new friends. And
you set yourself up for failure. Yeah, there's no way
you can do that. So the first thing is to think in terms of a rhythm, not a goal. So like one example for me, one of the things in my renewal list is reading. And I used to have these goals of like, I'm going to read 25 books a year. I mean, I got four kids, John. Like, you know, it doesn't work. And then I said, oh, you know what? I just need a rhythm of if one day a week I can read for an hour.
Mm.
And if 3 days a week I can read for 30 minutes, you know?
Yes. It's doable.
It's doable. And so it's more rhythmic than it is goal-oriented, right? So that's one. The second thing is you could either pick one for each of those five areas, or you could find a almost like a hack where there's a meta practice that addresses all five. You know, so let's say that the technology thing. I'm not going to keep my phone by my bed. Well, that might actually help you rest better.
Yes.
That might help your prayer life when you're going to sleep and waking up. You're going to talk to God instead of scrolling your phone. Mm-hmm. That might address renewal, and it might improve your relationship with your spouse if you're married, or, you know, and it might help you not do work at the wrong hours. So that's an example of a little thing,
will change.
But it actually hits all five.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So recovery. Recalibration, and then
the third one is really gets to the heart of it to me, and that is about returning to your first love. Mm-hmm. So, you know, John, I know you love the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John. There's so many literary breadcrumbs that you know John gives us, and one of them is this word meno that he uses over and over again, which is the word for abide in John 15. But actually it shows up early on, even in a very normal setting where they say, teacher, where are you staying? Where are you abiding? Where are you remaining? And it's a little clue, I think, of like, isn't that the question of discipleship?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you stay, teacher? Where do you remain? Where is your resting heart rate place?
Wow.
And, you know, of course, you have this in John 15, abide. But at the very end, when Jesus is returning Peter after he's fallen, he doesn't say, Peter, do you love the church? He doesn't say, Peter, do you love miracles? He could have. He could have said, Peter, in a few weeks, you're going to preach an amazing sermon.
Yeah.
People are going to get saved. You're going to, you know, heal a guy on the steps of the temple. That would have motivated me if I was down in the dumps, you know. But he doesn't awaken Peter by reminding him of his love for the work, the mission, the cause, the purpose. He says, Peter, do you love me? And I think no matter what, you know, you do for your occupation or what your vocational sense, all of us are called to love Jesus as the center of it all. And I know in my own life, the seasons where I'm living in that abiding in Jesus kind of proximity,
yeah,
I can go through the ups and downs, right? But those seasons where I'm not tending to that relationship, it's pretty difficult and everything feels harder.
Yeah, yeah. And so if somebody's watching, you know, the invitation would be for anybody, just do a little assessment.
Yeah.
On the scale of first love, where am I with that? If somebody were to say, Glenn, I'm not at the place on that scale where I want to be. I would like to be experiencing more of that love for him, abiding in him. Any thoughts on what they might do with that?
Romans 5 says that the Holy Spirit pours out God's love in our hearts. And some great scholars and theologians have just pointed out how our the experiential dimension of our relationship with God happens through welcoming the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I think it could be as simple as waking up in the morning and saying, come Holy Spirit, help me know your love. Help me know the love of God today. You don't love God by trying to. You love God by receiving a fresh revelation of his love for us.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So we'll end there. You don't love God by trying to. So stop trying harder to love God. You love God by receiving a fresh revelation of his love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I got to get out more. So good. Thank you, bud.
Thanks, John. Hey, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to access all of our videos there or subscribe for the emails that go with each video. But my personal favorite way to stay in the loop with Become New is by text. We will send you a text message every morning that we release a new video with the title of that video and just the link to the video. So if you want that, you can text the word become to the number 855-888-0444 and we'll get those messages to you. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. So you can text or email us your prayer request at 855-888-0444 or at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.